This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
All right, Mr. Lally, maybe you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
Could you please introduce yourself to the jury, spelling your last name for the court?
Sure. I'm Christina Hanley. Hanley is H-A-N-L-E-Y.
And Ms. Hanley, what do you do for work?
I am a forensic scientist at the Massachusetts State Police Crime Laboratory in the Trace Arson and Explosives Unit.
And where did you go to school?
I received my Bachelor of Science in Chemistry with the concentration in Forensics from Merrimack College.
And do you have any other degrees?
I do not.
Now, following your education, where did you first go to work?
I began working at the State Police Crime Lab in 2008 in the Drug Identification Unit. And in 2009, I transferred into the Trace Unit. And in 2017, I was promoted from a Forensic Scientist 2 to a Forensic Scientist 3 in the Trace Arson and Explosives Unit.
Could I ask you please to speak up, please?
Ms. Hanley, if it helps, that microphone is adjustable, so if you could get it as close to you as possible, that would be great. Thank you. The Massachusetts State Police Crime Laboratory where you work, is that accredited?
Yes, it is.
And by whom?
We are accredited by ANAB.
And what does ANAB stand for?
ANAB stands for ANSI National Accreditation Board.
And what does ANSI stand for?
I can't remember exactly what ANSI stands for. I apologize.
That's okay. As part of that accreditation process, do you undergo any sort of proficiency testing?
Yes, I do.
And can you explain to the jury what that proficiency testing process consists of?
Sure. So proficiency tests are a quality assurance measure that's used to monitor performance. And I'm required to complete at least one external proficiency test per year where I'm authorized to do casework in multiple sub-disciplines in my unit. I typically complete more than one proficiency test per year.
And what areas do you specifically undergo proficiency testing in?
Sure. So I am authorized to do casework in multiple sub-disciplines in Trace. So I complete proficiency tests in the sub-disciplines of hairs, paint, fibers, glass, tape, and serial number restorations and physical match examinations.
And generally speaking, what is entailed in those proficiency testing that you're given multiple times a year?
It's provided by an external company that provides the proficiency test, and I'm required to successfully complete one of those proficiency tests per year.
Now, have you successfully completed each of those proficiency tests that you've taken?
Yes, I have.
Now, what type of training or continuing education have you undergone at the State Police Crime Laboratory?
Sure. So I had internal training as well as external training. The internal training consisted of I had to complete required readings. I was required to complete some laboratory exercises, learn how to utilize the instrumentation in the lab. I observed other analysts in the unit working on casework. I was also required to complete a written exam as well as a competency test, and in addition to that, a mock trial.
Now, you mentioned earlier in the testimony you're a forensic scientist 3 currently, is that correct?
That's correct.
And what is the difference, or can you explain the difference to the jury between a forensic scientist 2 versus a forensic scientist 3?
Sure. So a forensic scientist who is essentially just like a bench chemist who their primary role or responsibility is casework. A forensic scientist 3 does casework, but in addition is also a unit supervisor.
Now, what does the TRACE unit do or examine within the Massachusetts State Police crime law?
Sure. So I'm responsible for examining and comparing TRACE items that, for example, such as paint, glass, fibers, hairs, tape, miscellaneous items. I also perform serial number restorations on firearms and physical match examinations.
And what are your general duties and responsibilities within the TRACE unit within the lab?
So I am responsible for the general operation of the unit. I train other forensic scientists within the unit. I also complete technical and administrative reviews of casework. And I also complete my own casework in the TRACE disciplines that I previously mentioned.
Now, Ms. Hanley, you as a supervisor, you review other analysts' work within the TRACE unit, correct?
Yes, I do.
And who reviews your work for any sort of TRACE analysis that you do?
So, depending on what the subdiscipline, some of the casework that I'm authorized to do work in, it needs to be technically reviewed by an external technical reviewer because I'm the only one within my unit that can do certain types of casework currently. So we have to utilize an external technical reviewer at this time.
Now, with reference to physical match analysis, can you explain to the jury first, just in general terms, how is that analysis performed?
Sure. So when I receive an item, I take that item into my custody and I document it with photographs, and I make observations and take notes. And then I'll examine the items microscopically, and I will do any comparison work to determine if there is or is not a physical match between items.
Now, that physical match analysis within the TRACE unit at the state lab, is that general work supported by any sort of scientific principle or methodology that you're aware of?
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Are you familiar with something called the Lockhart Exchange Principle?
Yes. So the Lockhart Exchange Principle, it's kind of the foundation or basis of TRACE analysis. It is a principle that states that when two objects or two items come into contact with each other, there is an exchange of material.
Now, with reference to your workspace, what is it that you do to your bench between your examination of separately packaged items?
Sure. So the bench top, as well as the tools that I'm going to use, are all cleaned with a bleach solution. And once that's done, there's a clean piece of butcher paper that's put down on the bench. And that's done in between looking at different items.
And why is it that you do that in between looking at different items?
That's done to prevent any cross-contamination.
Now, you've alluded a little bit earlier in your testimony, but on what types of evidence can you perform a physical match analysis?
Sure. So physical match examination can be conducted with many different types of material. For example, plastics, glass, tape, etc.
Now, when evidence is submitted to your lab, how is it kept track of throughout its stay at the lab?
Sure. So when evidence is submitted to the laboratory, the case information is put into our LIMS system, which stands for Laboratory Information Management System.
And once it's assigned that number, how is it sort of tracked as it progresses through the different units within the lab?
Sure. So the unique case number that's assigned to the case is tracked within the system. It's referred to as the chain of custody. So items of evidence will get scanned depending on where their location is. And the LIMS system keeps track of all of that, so we know exactly where an item is.
So when you take an item or you receive an item to be tested, can you explain to the jury what you do to begin your analysis?
Sure. So when an item gets scanned into my custody, after I've prepped my area to examine the item, I scan that item into my custody, and I will document that item with photographs. I will make notes of my observations. I will examine the item microscopically. If needed, I'll proceed with sampling and possibly additional microscopic examination and instrumental analysis.
Now, specifically starting with items of glass, when you take an item of glass to conduct a comparative analysis, generally speaking, what is the process for conducting such an examination of glass?
So it'd be the same process that I just mentioned. I would take that item, take photos, make any observations. I would proceed with first I would check to see if there's any physical match comparisons, and then if needed, I would take any samples to examine it microscopically and or instrumentally.
And that general process that you've just described is the items that you tested in reference to this case or analyzed in reference to this case. Is that the process that you followed in this case?
Yes.
Now, what kind of instruments do you use, starting off with items of glass, what kind of instruments do you use to conduct that analysis?
Sure. So I'll use a stereo-zoom microscope to initially examine it microscopically. If I take samples to do an additional microscopic examination, I'll examine it under a polarized light microscope. And then if I need to take samples to do instrumental analysis, that would be using our, it's referred to as a GRIM, which stands for Gloss Refractive Index Measurement. And it's an instrument that measures the refractive index of glass.
And if you could please explain to the jury, what is a refractive index?
Sure. Refractive index is a measure of how light bends when it passes from one medium to another.
And how are you viewing that, utilizing the GRIM device when it comes to glass?
So a sample is prepped on a slide, and it is placed on a hot stage of the microscope of the instrument. And the oil that the sample is in, it goes through a cooling and a heating phase, and as it's going through a cooling and a heating phase, it passes through what we refer to as a match point. So you can make that observation as the sample is running. And then when the sample is done running, it takes an average and it calculates the refractive index of the sample through the calibration data of the instrument.
What is an FTIR?
So an FTIR is a Fourier transform infrared spectrometer, and it is an analytical tool that we use to analyze certain types of samples. Essentially, a sample is exposed to infrared light, and your sample reacts in a certain way to it, and it produces a spectrum or a graph of peaks and valleys, and it is representative of your sample.
And how is that FEIR instrument, how is that used in this type of physical math analysis?
So actually the FTIR was not used for physical match examination.
Now, you mentioned it a little bit earlier in your testimony, but what is a polarized light microscope?
So a polarized light microscope is, it's a microscope that just has a couple of filters in it that we use to look at samples at higher magnification and makes observations of certain optical properties of samples.
And how are you utilizing that instrument in your analysis in the lab?
So it's used to examine various different types of samples, paint, fiber. We can also look at glass.
Do you document your work as you perform your analysis in the lab?
Yes, I do.
Now, Ms. Hanley, at some point, were you assigned to perform some work on a lab case number 22-02184 pertaining to this defendant, Karen Reed?
Yes, I was.
And what type of work were you assigned to do in this case?
So I was given items for physical match comparison of some glass items, as well as some instrumental analysis of the glass. And I was also given items for some items of plastic for comparison.
Now, starting with glass pieces, do you recall what item numbers you analyzed pertaining to the glass pieces?
Yes. So I examined items 3-2, which was a clear glass cup with broken irregular edges. I was also given item 3-3, which was five pieces of clear glass with broken irregular edges from the bumper of the vehicle. And then I was also given item 7-12, which were clear and glass pieces recovered from the road. And I was given also 7-14, which was a clear piece of glass recovered from the road.
And now if we could, Ms. Hanley, just break those down sort of one by one. So starting with item 3-2, what was provided to you in reference to a description of what that item was?
Sure. So item 3-2 was a clear glass cup with broken irregular edges. And there was dirt debris on the exterior and interior of the cup.
Now, did you measure that item?
I did.
And what measurements did you obtain from that item, the drinking glass?
I just would need to refer to my report for measurement.
Okay, you can do that. You have your report right there? Go right ahead.
Thank you.
So the diameter of the bottom of the glass cup was 2 3/4 inches, and it measured approximately 2.5 inches in height.
You mentioned that there was debris on both the interior and exterior of the drinking glass. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, turning your attention to item 3-3, what was provided to you as a description of item 3-3?
Sure. So item 3-3 consisted of five pieces of clear glass, all with broken irregular edges.
And was there anything provided in the description of where those five pieces of broken glass were located?
Yes, they were recovered from the bumper of the vehicle.
And was there any identifying information provided to you as far as in reference to that vehicle?
The only other description of the item is the license plate of the vehicle.
What was the license plate that was provided?
So it was MA3GC684.
And did you measure each of those respective items?
Yes, I did.
Now, as far as before we get to the measurements, Ms. Hanley, when it comes to a lab item number, say 3-3, that has multiple pieces to it, how are each of those individual pieces then subsequently labeled?
So sometimes we'll subsequently label them with a lettering system.
And as far as these particular pieces contained within item 3-3, the pieces of glass from the bumper of the defendant's vehicle, how are they labeled?
So these were labeled A through E.
And with reference to the measurements, what measurements did you obtain from the pieces within item 3-3?
Sure. So I measured the largest and the smallest, and the largest measured approximately 7/8 of an inch by 5/16 of an inch, and the smallest measured approximately 3/16 of an inch by 1/8 of an inch.
Now, with reference to the drinking glass, you examined that microscopically, is that correct?
I did, yes.
And with reference to these items from item 3-3 from the bumper, you examined those microscopically as well, is that correct?
Correct.
And was there a particular piece from the pieces from the bumper that you did any additional examination of?
Yes, I did.
And what instruments did you use and which piece?
Sure. So there was one piece I sampled, piece E, that I had labeled as piece E, and I took a sample for examination under the polarized light microscope and a sample to analyze it instrumentally on the Grimm instrument.
Now, turning your attention to item 7-12, what was provided to you as a description for item 7-12?
Sure. So item 7-12, that consisted of 5 pieces of clear apparent plastic and 9 pieces of clear apparent glass with broken irregular edges.
Now, the 9 apparent pieces, let me ask you this first. As far as the description that you were provided, was there any description as far as where those items were recovered from?
Yes. Those items were recovered from 34 Fairview Road.
And is it your understanding they were recovered from the street or the roadway outside of that residence?
It just says recovered from 34 Fairview Road.
Now, as far as the 9 pieces of clear apparent glass from item 7-12, were those similarly sub-labeled as the previous item 3-3?
Yes, I received those labeled with the lettering system. They were labeled A, B, C, D, E, F, I, K, and L.
And with reference to those 9 pieces of glass, did you examine those microscopically as well?
I did, yes.
Now, turning your attention to item 7-14, what were you provided with as far as a description of that item 7-14?
So this item consisted of 1 piece of clear glass with broken irregular edges.
And similarly, was there any description provided as to where that item was recovered from?
Yes, it was recovered from 34 Fairview Road as well.
And again, how many pieces were contained within that item,
7-14? 7-14 was just 1 piece of glass.
And did you measure that item as well?
That item, I do not have the measurement of. It was examined by a previous analyst within the unit. So, that measurement was taken at that time.
And that other analyst would be Nick Fallier, is that correct?
Yes.
And as far as your examination of that item 7-14, what type of instruments did you use to examine 7-14?
So I sampled 7-14 to examine it under the polarized light microscope, as well as to analyze it instrumentally using the Grimm instrument.
Are you familiar with a term called a class characteristic?
Yes.
Can you explain to the jury what that is?
Sure. So a class characteristic is when a material can be associated with a group of items that share characteristics.
And what is an individual characteristic?
An individual characteristic is when a material can be related to a single source, such as a physical match.
And so what is the difference between a class characteristic versus an individual characteristic?
So class characteristic is that it can be associated with a group of items that share characteristics, versus the individual characteristic. It's more individualizing. It's can be related to a single source, just in the case of like a physical match.
What is a physical match?
So a physical match is if an item is broken and those pieces are compared to each other, and they're broken irregular edges fit back together, and they have a jigsaw fit, that would be considered a physical match.
Now, can you please explain to the jury the steps and the process that you undertook in your comparative analysis of items, specifically of glass, in this case?
Sure. So I first did a comparison of all of the glass pieces and the glass cup that were recovered from the road. So those were items 3-2, 7-12, and 7-14. So I examined all of those to determine if there was a physical match between any of those items first. There were, I believe, 6 pieces of glass from item 7-12 that fit mechanically to the cup that was also recovered from the road, item 3-2. After I completed that examination, I then did a comparison to see if there was a physical match to some of the 2 of the glass pieces from the bumper. There were 5 total from the bumper. 2 of them I used for physical match comparison. And there was no physical match comparison between those 2 pieces from the bumper, item 3-3, compared to the glass pieces and the cup that were recovered from the road. And then I sampled, as I had mentioned earlier, 1 of the pieces from the bumper to do further microscopic and analytical analysis on, and did a comparison with 1 of the pieces from the road.
Can I see Counsel Tybaugh for just a minute, please? All right, Mr. Whaley, whenever you're ready.
Thank you. And Ms. Stanley, from the break, if I could just ask you a few questions just to reorient as far as the items that we were speaking about yesterday in the testimony. First, starting with the item in glass that you analyzed in this case, the first of those items was an item 3-2. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And please provide the jury with the description for that item that you received.
Sure. So item 3-2 was a clear glass cup with broken irregular edges. And there was some dirt debris material that was noted on the exterior and interior surfaces.
Yeah, may I put?
Yes.
Showing you a photograph. Presumably, do you recognize that?
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize that?
So this is a photograph that I took. It's item 3-2, but it's also, I would have to double check on my notes, but I believe it has item 7-12, one of the pieces that I'm holding that's showing a physical match between those 2 items.
Can you hear me, I promise?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 9490. Ms. Hanley, what's up on the screen? Is that the photograph that I just presented to you?
Yes, it is.
And if you could, please describe to the jury what we're looking at here.
So that is a photograph that I took upon examination. It is the clear glass cup item 3-2. And I'm holding another piece, which, again, I believe it's one of the pieces from item 7-12. I would need to confirm in my file, but I'm showing that one of the pieces physically fits with item 3-2.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Gilman, you can take that down. May I approach again, ma'am?
Yes.
I'm showing a few other photographs. If you could go, still cover your phone. Did you recognize?
Yes, I do. So these are photographs that I took of item 7-12.
You're on the phone, but also there's in the middle. So next to you, that you did.
Any objection? Thank you.
So this is 196A and 196B.
And Ms. Hanley, if you could just remind the jury as far as the physical description that you received in regard to item 7-12.
Sure. So item 7-12 consisted of some clear plastic pieces as well as 9 pieces of glass with broken irregular edges.
And may I publish your own?
Yes.
And Ms. Hanley, what are we looking at in this photograph?
So this is the photo that I took of item 7-12 as I received it. So there's the several pieces of clear glass with broken irregular edges.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have 9477. If you could enlarge that just a bit. And again, Ms. Hanley, what are we looking at in this photograph?
Those are the same pieces of glass as in the previous photo, just a little bit more up close of the clear glass that was recovered and is item 7-12.
Now, Ms. Hanley, as far as a comparative analysis between items in 3-2, the glass cup, and 7-12, regarding the glass pieces, what, if any, conclusions did you make in reference to your comparison between those two items?
Sure. So upon comparing those items, I did note that 6 of the 9 pieces of clear apparent glass had a physical match to item 3-2, the clear glass cup.
And if you could just remind the jury as far as the physical match, what does that mean?
So a physical match is basically if an item breaks and those items have broken irregular edges, if those pieces come back together like a jigsaw fit, then it's a physical match and they were at one time together as one larger unit.
Now, as far as each of those items within 7-12 had a letter associated with them, correct?
Yes.
And you recall which of the 6 were a physical match for item 3-2, the glass?
I would just need to refer to my notes for the exact letters.
Sure, you can take your report out. Okay.
The 6 pieces of glass from item 7-12 that physically fit to item 3-2 were A, B, C, D, F, and K.
May I approach, Ron?
Yes.
Well, let me ask you this, folks. I'm sorry. So, Ms. Hanley, during the course of this physical match analysis that you're conducting, are you memorializing that process with photographs as well?
Yes, I am.
May I approach you?
Yes.
I am presenting you four photographs that you could review those in the fucking time. Do you recognize?
Yes, I do. Those are photographs that I took upon my examination of items 712 and item 3-2.
Thank you.
And Ms. Hanley, what's up on the screen? Can you please describe for the jury what we're looking at in those photographs?
So this is one of the photos that I took of one of the breaks that physically fit together between item 3-2 and item 7-12.
And Ms. Dearman, if I could have 9514. And again, Ms. Hanley, can you please describe to the jury what we're looking at in this photograph?
So this is a photo that I took when I was doing my comparison of item 3-2 and several pieces from item 7-12.
Now, as far as the individual pieces had sort of little white stickers or labels affixed to them, is that correct?
Yes.
Is that something that you did, or is that something that when the items were provided to you was already done?
Item 7-12, I received those pieces with the labels already on them.
And again, those items, especially 7-12, had been with Mitch Valier in your unit prior to coming to your table or your station, correct?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have 9518. Again, Ms. Hanley, what are we looking at here?
So this is another photograph that I took of the physical match. It's just another view of the items together of item 3-2 and several pieces from item 7-12.
Lastly, for this batch, Ms. Gilman, if I could have 9520. And again, Ms. Hanley, what are we looking at here?
So this is another picture that I took of the items just slightly rotated of item 3-2 with a physical fit to several items or several pieces from item 7-12.
Ms. Hanley, is there a laser pointer on the desk in front of you?
Yes.
If you could, preferably using this screen just so it's visible for the jury, could you delineate where you see in the photograph item 3-2 and where you see the items associated with item 7-12.
So this right here is item 3-2. And these pieces up here are several pieces from 7-12.
Thank you. Ms. Gilman, if you take that time. Now, the other two items that you analyzed or examined in this part of your physical match analysis were items 3-3 and 7-14, correct?
That's correct.
And turning your attention specifically to item 3-3, if you could just remind the jury as far as the physical description of that item that was provided to you.
Sure. So item 3-3 was five pieces of clear glass with broken irregular edges that were recovered from the bumper of the vehicle.
May I approach again, Your Honor?
Yes.
Single photograph. Do you recognize that?
Yes, I do. That is a photo that I took of item 3-3.
Your Honor, I'm off seeking to do something.
No objection, Mr. Jackson?
No objection, Your Honor.
198.
And Ms. Hanley, in addition to the five pieces of the glass associated with item 3-3, what else is depicted in this photograph?
This is a photo of the five total pieces that are from item 3-3.
And in addition to that, is there a ruler depicted in this photograph as well?
Yes, there is.
And what is the purpose of that ruler in the photograph?
It's there as a scale.
And Ms. Hanley, the last of those items, 7-14, if you could just remind the jury as far as what was the physical description that was provided to you in reference to item 7-14?
Sure. So item 7-14 was a clear piece of glass with broken irregular edges that was recovered from the road.
Ms. Hanley, again, if you could just describe for the jury what was depicted in the photograph up on the screen.
This is the photo that I took of item 7-14.
Thank you. Ms. Gellman, you can take that time. In addition to the physical match analysis that you did between item 3-2, the cup, and six of the pieces that you found to be a physical match from item 7-12, did you also compare pieces from item 3-2, 7-12, and 7-14?
Yes, I did.
And what did you conclude in your physical match analysis of those items together?
So upon examining and comparing item 3-2, 7-12, and 7-14, I had concluded that six of the nine pieces of glass from 7-12 likely fit with item 3-2. And the remaining three of the nine from 7-12 did not have a physical fit to item 3-2. I also compared item 3-2 and 7-12 to 7-14, but there was no physical match to item 7-14.
Now, in addition to that, did you also do a physical match analysis between item 3-2, the drinking glass, 7-12, pieces found from the roadway, and certain pieces from 3-3 from the bumper of the vehicle?
Yes, I did.
And what did you conclude based on that physical match analysis between those items?
So upon examining and comparing those items, so there were five total pieces of glass from item 3-3. I used two of those pieces for physical match comparison to the items recovered from the road. Upon my examination, I did not, there was no physical match between those two pieces from item 3-3 to any of the pieces recovered from the road. So that included items 3-2, 7-12, and 7-14.
Now, as far as the two pieces that you had selected from item 3-3, do you recall which of those two lettered pieces you chose for your comparative analysis?
Yes.
And which were they?
They were pieces A and B.
And if I could ask, why pieces A and B versus other pieces?
So A and B were used for physical match. The remaining three of the five were not used for physical match comparison due to their size and condition.
Now, those same two pieces from item 3-3, pieces A and B, did you then do a physical match analysis between that and 7-14?
I did.
And what did you conclude from that analysis?
I concluded that there was no physical match between the two pieces from item 3-3 to item 7-14.
Now, did you also do a physical match analysis between piece E from item 3-3 from the bumper?
I did not. Not a physical match examination.
Did you do any comparative analysis between a piece of glass E from 3-3 from the bumper and item 7-14?
Yes, I did.
And what did you conclude from that analysis?
So I selected piece E for further examination. I did microscopic examination as well as instrumental analysis, and I did the same microscopic and instrumental analysis to 7-14, and I compared the data, and I came to the conclusion that the piece that I sampled from item 3-3, piece E, was found to be consistent in physical and instrumental properties to the sample that I took from item 7-14.
If you could, Ms. Hammond, could you please explain to the jury when you say instrumental analysis, what is that? What does that consist of?
So the instrumental analysis that I conducted was on the GRIM instrument, which measures the refractive index of the samples. So after I had ran my samples for both item 3-3 and 7-14, I compared the data to determine whether they were consistent or not consistent.
And so when you say that something is consistent in instrumental properties, what does that mean?
So in this instance, they had consistent refractive indices.
In addition to that comparative analysis for the glass items, what other additional examinations did you perform in this case?
Sorry, could you say that again?
In addition to item 3-2, 3-3, 7-12, and 7-14, what other items did you look at in this case?
So I also examined item 3-1 and item 7-18.18.
And what was the description provided to you in reference to item
3-1? 3-1 was a taillight, and there were also some other plastic pieces as well.
And taillight from the same vehicle as the glass and the bumper, correct?
Yes.
May I approach her?
Yes.
When you have another single photograph, you recognize it?
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize?
This is the photo that I took of item 3-1.
The home office can introduce some medicine.
Hello, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
May I publish her?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 9394. Well, Ms. Stanley, do you recognize what's up on the screen as exhibit 200?
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize it to be?
This is the photo that I took of item 3-1.
And what's contained in here, is that a fair and accurate portrayal of what the item 3-1, the taillight housing, looked like when you received it?
Yes.
Now, as far as, we'll get to this more a bit in a moment, but as far as any sort of comparative analysis that you did with any other item, what part of this taillight housing were you comparing to that other item?
So there were clear and red plastic portions of the taillight that appeared to be broken. So I sampled portions of the clear plastic as well as the red plastic on the taillight.
And just for clarity purposes, if you could, with the pointer, as far as which of these pieces up on the screen were you sampling the clear and or the red plastic from?
So the red plastic that I sampled was from this area. It's a little hard to tell from here. I think I'd have to refer to my photo in my notes, but I think there were a couple of different areas that had clear broken plastic. I think this might have been one of the areas that was broken that I sampled.
And just for my purposes, really what I'm asking, Ms. Hanley, is the clear plastic that you used from item 3-1 was from the housing unit itself, the large piece, correct?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, you can take that then. Now, the other item that you were comparing this to was item 7-18.18. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
and what was provided to you as the description of that item 7-18.18?
7-18.18 was debris that was collected from two pieces of clothing from the victim.
And specifically, that would be 7-17, an orange t-shirt. Is that correct?
I believe that is correct, yeah.
As well as 7-18, a gray long sleeve. Is that correct?
Yes.
And when you say that item 7-18.18 contained debris, what did that debris consist of?
So the debris consisted of one clear piece of plastic, as well as several pieces of red plastic, among some other trace material.
Now, were there measurements taken of those items within the debris, specifically the clear plastic and the red plastic?
Yes.
And what were those measured to be?
I could just need to refer to my report for that. Okay, so the clear piece of plastic in 7-18.18, it measured approximately 1/8 of an inch by 1/16 of an inch. And then I measured the largest and the smallest of the red plastic pieces. And the largest piece of red plastic measured approximately 1/16 of an inch by less than 1/16 of an inch. And the smallest piece among those measured approximately less than 1/16 of an inch by less than 1/16 of an inch.
And so those particular pieces that you measured, about how small are we talking about?
So the largest, for the red plastic, the largest piece measured, just for visual purposes, it's roughly like the size of a grain of rice. The rest of the pieces were smaller than that.
And who within the lab provided that debris in that taillight housing to your unit, to the trace unit?
So the debris from the clothing was transferred to my unit by Maureen Hartnett. And the taillight was submitted to the lab by Trooper Christopher Moore.
May I approach that?
Yeah.
Generally speaking, Ms. Hannah, do you recognize what's in those photographs?
Yes, I do. Those are the photographs that I took of 7-18.18.
And Ms. Hanley, what is depicted in this photograph on the screen?
So this is one of the photos that I took of 7-18.18. This is how I received the clear piece of plastic.
And is that a tin that is encased in at the time that you receive it?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have 9355. And what is this, Ms. Hanley?
So this is a photo of the clear piece of plastic that was within that pin.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have 9364. And Ms. Gilman, if you can enlarge this just a bit. Maybe just a little more, please. Thank you. And Ms. Hanley, what are we looking at in this photograph?
This is the photo that I took of the debris that was collected from the clothing items.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have 9366. And again, Ms. Hanley, what are we looking at here?
This is a photo that I took under a microscope of the red plastic pieces that I noted within the debris.
Lastly, Ms. Yeoman, if we could have photograph 9369. And Ms. Stanley, what are we looking at here?
This is a picture that I took of the red plastic pieces that I removed from the debris.
Now, Ms. Yeoman, in reference to your comparative analysis from item 3-1, the tailout housing plastic, to the clear and red plastic pieces of debris from plastic debris from item 7-18.18, the clothing of Mr. O'Keefe. What types of instruments did you utilize in this comparative analysis?
So after completing my examination, I utilized a comparison microscope as well as a polarized microscope, a FTIR, which is Fourier transform infrared spectrometer. And I also used a microspectral photometer, also known as a microspec.
And what is a microspec?
So a microspec is an analytical tool that we can use to examine samples that have color. So it provides information on the sample's dyes and pigments.
And how is that utilized in your comparative analysis?
So I ran samples from both items that I was comparing, and I compared the data from those two items as a part of my comparative analysis.
And when you run that sort of data, can you describe for the jury sort of what that data looks like? Like, what are you physically seeing when you're examining the data from a microspec?
So what we refer to it as a spectrum, or just a graph. When we do the comparison, we can overlay those spectra or graph to determine if they are consistent or not consistent.
I know you spoke a little bit about it in your testimony yesterday, but if you could remind the jury as far as an FTIR, what is that and how is that used in your analysis?
So an FTIR is another analytical tool that we can use. A sample is exposed to infrared light, and it reacts in a certain way with that light. And what's produced is a spectrum of peaks and valleys that are representative and unique to your sample. And so that instrument was used to run samples from both items, and then the data was compared from both items.
Now, from your comparison of starting with the clear plastic from the debris from Mr. O'Keefe's clothing, from your comparative analysis of that clear plastic to the clear plastic from item 3-1 on the taillight, what did you conclude?
So the clear plastic from the debris was found to be consistent in color and instrumental properties to the clear plastic from the taillight. So accordingly, the clear plastic from the debris could have originated from the clear plastic from the taillight or from another source with the same characteristics.
And with reference to the red plastic from item 7-18.18 from Mr. O'Keefe's clothing, in your comparison of that red plastic with the red plastic from the passenger side taillight of the defendant's vehicle, item 3-1, what did you conclude from that analysis?
So the red plastic that I sampled from item from the debris from the clothing from 7-18.18 was found to be consistent in color, microscopic appearance, and instrumental properties with the portions that I sampled from the red plastic from the taillight. So accordingly, the red plastic from item 7-18.18 could have originated from the red plastic that I sampled from the taillight or from another source with the same characteristics.
Okay. I'm sorry, I thought we just hold on 1 minute about the silence, Beth. May I approach again, y'all?
Yes. Okay, is this a good time to take a break this long?
If I land to the core, I'd probably have another 3.8 left.
I'm going to see counsel for 2 minutes, obviously.
Whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Emma. Well, Ms. Hanley, when we left off, we were discussing the entire analysis you did between item 7-18.18, Mr. O'Keefe's clothing, and item 3-1, the taillight housing, or the plastic within the taillight housing of the defendant's car, correct?
Correct.
And there were a number of different instruments that you used through the course of your examination and analysis, correct?
That's correct.
And what were those instruments that you used again in that portion of the analysis?
Sure. So I used a polarized light microscope, a comparison microscope, an FTIR, and a microspec.
And your honor, may I approach?
Yes.
Showing you 3 documents, if you could review those, if I'll come with you. And do you recognize them?
And yes, I do.
And starting with the first page of that.
It is the FTIR comparison data for the clear plastic from item 3-1 and the clear plastic from item 7-18.18. So this is also FTIR comparison data from for the red plastic from item 3-1 and item 7-18.18. So this is the comparison data from the microspec from the red plastic from the item 3-1 and the red plastic from
7-18.18. Right? So that's 202, 203, and 204. Cool, too.
And again, Ms. Hanley, when it came to your analysis of the clear plastic material from the debris from John O'Keefe's clothing and the clear plastic material from the defendant's taillight, what were your conclusions from that analysis?
Sure. Upon comparison, the clear plastic from item 7-18.18 was found to be consistent in color and instrumental properties with the clear plastic from item 3-1. Accordingly, the clear plastic from 7-18.18 could have originated from the clear plastic from item 3-1 or from another source with the same characteristics.
Thank you. Your Honor, may I publish, and I'm sorry, I forgot already the exhibit numbers, but Ms. Gilman, if I could have the clear plastic. And Ms. Hanley, can you describe for the jury what we're looking at in this, what's up on the screen right now?
Sure. So this is the FTIR comparison data of the clear plastic from item 3-1 and the clear plastic from item 7-18.18.
And Ms. Hanley, if you could, using the laser pointer before you, if you could direct the jury's attention to which is which as far as the top and bottom.
The top spectrum is the is item 3-1, and the bottom spectrum is item 7-18.18.
And Ms. Hanley, when you're comparing these two as far as the data that you receive, what is it specifically that you're looking at in your comparison as far as the data is concerned?
So when I'm comparing the spectra, I'm looking at the peaks in each sample to determine if they are consistent or not consistent.
And if I could turn your attention to the red plastic material from the debris from Mr. O'Keefe's clothing and the red plastic from the passenger side taillight of the defendant's vehicle, what did you conclude in your analysis there?
So upon comparison, the red plastic from 7-18.18 was found to be consistent in color, microscopic appearance, and instrumental properties with the red plastic from item 3-1. So accordingly, the red plastic from 7-18.18 could have originated from the red plastic from item 3-1 or from another source with the same characteristics.
Thank you. And Ms. Gilman, if I could have the red plastic data. And Ms. Hanley, kind of directing your attention to the screen again with the laser pointer, if you could delineate for the jury as far as which set of data is associated with which item.
So the top spectrum is item 3-1, and the bottom spectrum is item 7-18.18.
And again, if you could direct the jury's attention with that laser pointed to the areas as far as the data peaks and valleys that you're looking at in comparison of this data.
So when I'm comparing them, I'm comparing the peaks to each other in each of the spectra to determine if they are consistent or not consistent.
And in this case, you found them to be consistent. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And Ms. Gilman, lastly, if I could have microspectra. And Ms. Hanley, if you could describe for the jury, please, what are we looking at in this particular data set?
So this is the comparison data from the microspec of the red plastic from item 3-1 and the red plastic from 7-18.18.
And as far as the data, in any microspectra, but particularly this one up on the screen, using that laser pointer, could you illustrate to the jury sort of what these individual lines or what this data means?
So these are the samples that I ran, and they sample that I ran from item 3-1 and 7-18.18, and the spectra are overlaid in order to determine to look at it and to determine whether they have a consistent or not consistent pattern.
And from overlaying the data from the pieces of plastic from Mr. O'Keefe's clothing and the pieces of plastic from the defendant's taillight, what do you observe as far as from overlaying those two sort of data points?
So I determined that they had consistent microspec data.
Again, if you could just remind the jury as far as the microspec data, what type of data is that?
So the microspec, it analyzes samples that have color. So it provides information of a sample's dyes or pigments.
Thank you very much. Ms. Gilman, you can take that down. Thank you, Ms. Hanley. I have no further questions, Your Honor.
Okay. So.
Good afternoon, Ms. Hanley.
Good afternoon.
Nice to see you again. We met about a year ago. First things first, you were just talking about some plastic pieces in 7-18.8, correct?
It was 7-18.18.
I left a one out. 7-18.18. We're dealing with a lot of numbers. I'm going to see if we can cut through that here in a second. First of all, you indicated that you were doing a comparative analysis in different, sort of different categorical ways, using microscopy, using the microstack, using the FTIR. I think you also use the FTIR in that as well.
Yes.
And you indicated that your analysis concluded with those pieces could have come from the same source, from the source at, in 3-1, the taillight. But you're not conclusively saying they did, correct?
It could have come from, they could have a common origin, or it could have come from another source with the same characteristics.
Right. So in other words, another way to say that, Ms. Hanley, is it may have come from the taillight, may not have.
It's a possibility.
I also want to ask you real quick about the taillight manufacturer. You were shown an exhibit. I think it's exhibit 200, and I think we have that available with the court's permission. For we're going to cut the light. I think the lighting is just fine. This is exhibit or photographs of exhibit 200 that you saw just a second ago. Quick question about that. In your inspection of that taillight, it's true, is it not, that that is manufactured entirely of plastic or plasticine pieces? There is no glass in that taillight, correct?
I have to check my notes. I don't think I noted any glass.
Okay. So in other words, there's no, you didn't note any glass inherent in the manufacture of that taillight. It's basically plastic.
Yeah, I think most of the parts were plastic. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure if the entire thing was plastic. There may have been other material, but portions were plastic.
But you certainly didn't see any glass inherent in the manufacture process.
I'd have to double check my notes, but I don't think I did.
Okay.
Do you want her to check her now?
Why don't you? Uh-huh. Are your notes in front of you?
Yeah.
With your court's permission.
Sure.
Okay, so I did not make any notation that I noted portions that were glass.
Great. Final point before we get into the actual analysis. On any of the glass, I want to shift gears to just the glass material that you analyzed and that you looked at and you inspected. You saw no blood, no skin, no biological material, no tissue, human tissue or otherwise, on any of those pieces that you inspected, did you?
Upon examination of those items, making observations of those types of material, that's not my area of expertise. I don't think I noted anything that was maybe consistent with that.
So in other words, even though you're not in the bio material expert section of the lab, you certainly would have noted if there was skin or biological material, obvious blood on glass pieces. You're looking at them in many.
Yes, I would have made note of observations of anything that I would have noted on the surface.
Great. And you did not, because you didn't see anything. You suggest.
I think I just made note. I'm going to have to check each item, but I think I did note that there was some dirt debris on some of the items. I did not note anything that would be maybe consistent with that.
I want to talk about the comparisons that you did. And you'll forgive me, I'm a visual learner. So I'd like to talk about it in four categories. Linear categories. Category 1, item 3-2. Category 2, item 3-3. Category 3, item 7-12. Category 4, item 7-14. 3-2, 3-3, 7-12, 7-4. Now we talked about it in those particulars.
Sure.
Come in. 3-2 was the cup, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And I'm going to keep the word cup rather than glass for obvious reasons. You could get confused by that. So when I say the cup, Do you know what I'm talking about?
Item 3-2.
Great. 3-3 are the five items that were found on the bumper, claimed to have been found on the bumper by NSD. Okay?
Yes.
Five items. A, B, C, D, and E, correct?
Correct.
Item 7-12 are items, nine items, last items, that were recovered at 34 Fairview by Trooper Buchanan. And then the whole, correct?
So, sustain as to who they were recovered from.
Sure. Did you receive the items in along with it?
We need to double check if it was an envelope, but I received it packaged.
Okay. And the packaging normally, in a normal circumstance, the packaging comes with labels. It gives you reference about where things came from. For instance, when Mr. Lally asked you, were you aware or did you become aware that items were claimed to have been found on the bumper? You didn't actually find those items, but that's what you would, that is the description you would give, correct?
That was the description of the item in our LIM system.
And going back to 7-12, that's our third category, was that described as nine pieces of glass that were found at 34 Fairview by
I am not sure who recovered them.
Well, what it said on the evidence envelope, that's where I'm at.
I would have to check my photos to see if it says that.
We'll get to that in just a second. But fair enough. 7-12, nine items, A, B, C, D, E. And if my memory serves, I, K, L.
I'd have to refer to my notes to
A, please.
Yes. So the nine pieces of glass from 7-12 were labeled A, B, C, D, E, F, I, K, and L.
Great. And then finally, what was in 7-14? That's an easy one. One piece of glass.
That's correct.
Graham, may I approach?
Sure.
I could. I spent in the home photograph. That should be two photographs of the exact same thing.
Do you recognize what's depicted from that photograph?
I've never seen. I did not take this photo. I'm not. I haven't seen them, so I don't know.
So I'm asking you to look. I know you haven't seen that photo.
It looks consistent with the cup.
Look at the second photo. Do you recognize what's depicted in that photo?
I did not take this photo. It appears to be a photo of a container that another analyst took a photo of item 7-12.
And item 7-12 once again included plastic pieces and nine glasses, correct?
Correct.
Do you see the evidence label on the very top of that evidence envelope?
I'm not sure which label you're talking about.
On the red tape.
Yes.
Does that appear to be a label marker that's done to maintain chain of custody?
So I think that label
jurors sometimes wear a tie bar in an effort to try and speed things up. So even though we take your time that way, this should make things move a little easier.
So you can cut that.
Thank you. Ms. Hanley, I was asking you previously, you'd already looked at what's been marked for identification as triple sheen. I was asking you about what has now been marked as triple H. If you'll just look at that, what I'm most interested in is, do you see a name, a trooper's name in the middle of that evidence bag?
Yes, I do.
Is that Buchanick?
It looks like it says that, yeah.
Okay. And just so we're clear, that bag is associated with 7-12 of your analysis. The item 7-12, correct?
Yes. Again, I didn't take this photo, but I have, yeah.
I realize that. It says 7-12.
Yeah. Phone, yes, yeah.
That's all I needed. Then we'll look at what's been marked as triple I for identification. Do you see a name associated with that evidence bag?
Yes.
What name is that?
It's actually a little hard to read. It looks like it says, it could say Trooper Proctor.
Okay. And that is associated with 7-14, our fourth category, correct?
It is labeled as, 7-14.
Thank you. Finally, does that, which has been marked as, for identification at least, as triple J, does that appear to be the contents of that bag, which is a single piece of glass in 7-14?
This appears to be the photo that the analyst prior to me took of item 7-14.
And that would be analyst Valier.
Correct.
You see her initials there.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. The four categories, just so we're clear and we can stop using so many numbers because they can get confusing. 3-2 is the cup, right?
Yes.
3-3 is the bumper glass, correct?
That is correct.
7-12 is the Buchanick glass, correct? You just looked at it.
Yes.
7-14 is the Proctor glass, the single piece, correct?
Correct.
So when I make reference to those items by those names, you'll know what I'm talking about.
I'm just used to referring to them to the item numbers, but I will try to stay with you.
My brain will melt if we continue that.
Can she do it both?
Sure. Any way that you wish. I have another document that I would like to approach with, if I could, with full permission.
Okay.
Thank you. I'd like you to take a look at that. You got a problem with this? Have you ever seen that before, or a variation of it?
Yes.
Okay. Shot last year, correct? Or something close to it last year?
Yeah, it looks consistent.
Okay.
Okay. If there are any others you suggest, why don't we bring all the...
This is it. Ms. Hanley, if I could ask you very briefly, I want to go through this chalk with you for a moment. Do you recognize something on the left, looking at the first category? Do you see 3-2?
Yes.
How is that described?
It's described as a cup.
Okay. And you see that there's a photographic representation of the cup just above it, correct?
It looks consistent with...
Right. Moving to the second category. What category is that?
It's item 3-3.
And 3-3, first of all, there's a photograph above it. Do you see that?
Yes.
It appears to be of a bumper, correct?
Yes.
You didn't take that picture?
I did not.
Okay. Let's look down beneath it. You indicated that there were five items in 3-3. A, B, C, D, and E, correct?
Correct.
Do you see A, B, C, D, and E represented in that category? On this chalk?
I do see A, B, C, D, E categorized, yes.
Great. Under A, you previously testified that the bumper glass sub A in 3-3 did not match the cup, correct?
That's correct.
Did not match anything in 7-12.
Sorry, just give me one moment. Sure. That's correct.
And did not match anything in 7-14.
That's correct.
And you see those represented by sort of the international symbol for negative, correct? A circle with a line through it.
Yes.
Okay. under subcategory B, glass B or item 3-3B. Did not match the cup, did not match 712, did not match 714.
That's correct.
Is that accurately represented on the jaw?
Yes.
Finally, with regard to E as an echo in that same item, 3-3, you see that there is a green indication that glass recovered by Proctor does match or did match in your analysis or was consistent with the item in 7-14, correct?
It was consistent microscopically and instrumentally.
Does that accurately reflect that finding on this chalk?
Yes.
Okay. Now, turning to category three, there were 9 pieces of glass that you looked at, correct?
Correct.
A to F, I, K, and L. Is that right?
If I could just reference my report to make sure.
Of course.
Yes, those are the correct letters.
And A, B, C, D, F, and K all matched the cup. Correct?
Again, I would just need to confirm with my report. So A, B, C, D, F, and K. Had a physical match to 3-2, the cup.
Is that accurately represented on this chalk? With green?
Yes.
And E is an echo, I is in India, and I think that's L is in Lima, did not match the cup. Correct?
That's correct.
Okay, is that accurately represented on this chalk?
Yes.
And finally, the last category, 7-14, that is the single piece of glass that was recovered by Trooper Proctor, that did not match the cup and it did not match anything in 7-12, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Is that accurately represented on the chalk?
Yes.
Your Honor, I would move for the admission with the amendment that the court indicated at sidebar of Triple K.
Okay, I'm going to allow it in.
205.
Your Honor, the court indicated you would like to see us before anything's published to jurors.
Hey, come on over for a second. Actually, have those been done?
It has been done.
What comes
to the 20th sidebar?
All right, then come on over.
Request permission to publish?
Yes.
Ms. Hanley, you see the chalk that's been, or actually what's been marked as Exhibit 205 in evidence? On the screen?
Yes.
Is that consistent with what you and I were just talking about at the witness stand?
Yes.
If you'll direct your attention to the screen on the right, just because it's a little easier and I think the laser pointer shows up a little better. Do you see the 4 categories represented in this exhibit?
Yes.
Okay. So 3-2, I'm going to go over it very quickly one more time, just visually. 3-2 on the left is the cup, correct?
Yes.
3-3 represents the 5 pieces of glass, of what we call the bumper glass, A, B, C, D, and E, correct?
Yes.
7-12 is the 9 pieces of glass recovered by Trooper Buchanan at 34 Fairview, correct?
Yes.
And finally, 7-14 is the glass, single piece of glass recovered by Trooper Proctor, correct?
Yes.
Taking these one by one, just so... Oops, everybody still? Taking these one by one, looking at starting with the bumper glass category 2, piece A did not match the cup, anything in 7-12 or anything in 7-14, correct?
That's correct.
Piece B did not match the cup, did not match anything in 7-12, did not match anything in 7-14, correct?
That's correct.
And moving over to category 3, there were some matches in these 9 items, 6 of them, A, B, C, D, F, and K, correct?
Yes.
But what those matched is, Hanley, with a cup, nothing on the bumper, correct?
Correct.
And what didn't match the cup were E, I, and L. Is that right?
That's correct.
Moving back to category two, however, there was one thing. Item E that did match something in this series of categories. Isn't that right?
Not a physical match, but instrumentally, there was consistency.
And this was an item, the only piece of bumper glass, the only piece of bumper glass to match anything else in your analysis. Match what? What was consistent with what?
Item 3-3, piece E, was consistent in physical and instrumental properties with the sample that I took from item 7-14.
Which is the single piece of glass recovered by Michael Crofton, correct?
Yes.
But not a single piece of glass, nothing that you analyzed from that bumper, matched.
Physical match comparison. There was no physical match comparison to the cup.
Your Honor, that's all I have. Okay. Thank you.
Riley?
Now, Ms. Hanley, as far as you were asked some questions on cross-examination about biological pieces or tissue or things being on the glass, and you referenced that that was done in another unit, correct?
Yes, if that type of examination was needed, that would be done in a different unit.
I'm going to allow that, but next question.
Which unit would that be conducted in?
Objection.
So the objection sustained. You need more, Mr. Wiley, before you move on.
Now, as far as the chalk that you were just presented, as far as the four photographs that were depicted in there, have you ever seen any of those four photographs before?
No.
Do you know specifically who or where any of the items 3-2, 3-3, 7-12, or 7-4 were physically recovered from?
I just have the description that's put in the LIMS system when it's submitted to the lab.
And do you know that 3-2, the drinking glass, was recovered by the Canton Police Department on January 29th, 2022? Do you know that item 3-3, the bumper glass, was recovered by Ms. Maureen Hartnett from your lab on February 1st, 2022?
Sustained.
Do you know that each of the four items were recovered by different people on different dates at different locations?
Yes.
Ms. Hanley, from your conclusions that you testified about before, you found that the item 3-2, the drinking glass, was consistent with six different pieces from item 7-12 that were found in the roadway outside of 34 Fairview Road, correct?
That's correct.
And you also found that piece E from item 3-3, the bumper glass, was consistent with the single piece from item 7-14 that was found in the roadway outside of 34 Fairview Road. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And you also found that items from 7-18.18, the debris from Mr. O'Keefe's clothing, were consistent with the item 3-1, the taillight housing, correct?
Sustained as to form.
Now, as far as the chalk that you were presented with on cross-examination, was there anything in there about item 7-18.18 or item 3-1, either the taillight housing or the debris from Mr. O'Keefe's clothing?
No, there was not.
Nothing further.
Anything?
Very briefly. So on its own, not a single piece of glass on that bumper could be connected to that cup, correct?
There was no physical match to the pieces that I compared for physical match from the bumper. There was no physical match to the glass cup 3-2.
Okay. Well, another way of saying that is a single piece of glass that you analyze on that bumper match.
Yeah.
sustained.
But the one piece in glass that did match something came from the same source. It was consistent with coming from the same source as the same piece of glass, but covered
when in possession of
that by Super Michael Crocker, correct?
It was consistent with item 7-14.
All right, Ms. Hanley, you are all set. I'm going to see counsel for a minute. Feel free to stand up and stretch.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.